Welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and we have a very fascinating conversation today with a woman who has really developed the idea, the philosophy, and the ideology behind what she calls the gift economy. So our guest today is author and philosopher Genevieve Vaughn. Genevieve Vaughn, welcome to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you, Cindy. I'm very glad to be here.
Well, thank you, and you're calling in from Italy, and so we're very happy to have you. And I've been exploring myself alternatives to the capitalist economic system we have in the United States, or actually in the world, the globalist system of exchange, the Federal Reserve and the phony money that is in circulation that I think is really designed to keep us poor and keep certain people rich. And then yesterday, I'm in Washington State doing some speaking engagements for an organization here called the Socialist Alternative. And I spoke yesterday in Bellingham, and I spoke at Western Washington University, and the students were just basically staring at me like, you know, their deer caught in headlights when I'm talking about there can be different paradigms than what we are living under here. So can you explain to my readers your concept and your idea of such a thing as a gift economy? And what is a gift economy?
Well, I believe that we already have a gift economy in a sense, because mothers take care of children unilaterally. That is, they give without an exchange, without expecting something back. And they have to do that because little babies don't know how to exchange. They can receive, and they receive in a very creative way, not just passively. But gifts have to go from the mother to the child without an exchange. And our economy, instead, is based on exchange, that is, giving in order to get back an equivalent. There have been many indigenous societies that didn't really work on exchange or the market, but rather more on the unilateral gift-giving way. And unilateral gift giving is interesting, because if you give to somebody and then they give to somebody else and they give to somebody else again, there is a sort of chain that's created of relationships. And that is basically the gift, the unilateral gift, creates a relationship of mutuality and trust between the giver and the receiver. Unless you're in a hierarchical situation, and then gifts can be used for power over. But in an egalitarian situation, the gifts go around and create relationships of community. And there is the word community itself has muni in it, and that's the word in Latin for gifts. And so community means giving gifts together, the co meaning with, giving gifts with each other. And the same thing with communication. And I believe that underlying our community of exchange, our economy of exchange, there is this maternal gift economy that is basically the way we stay alive, because we do satisfy each other's needs all the time in many different ways, and we receive the satisfaction of our own. Every breath we breathe is free. It's a gift from the universe. And then when we breathe out, we're giving a gift to the trees and the plants. And so we're already in a cycle of giving like that. And inside our bodies, our hearts beat and our blood goes out to nurture the cells and then comes back and gets oxygenated. And so we have a cycle of gifts inside our bodies. And I've been working on this for a long time, and I've worked on an idea of language as sort of virtual gift giving. And so I think that that too is a way that we connect with each other, and I don't want to go into that a whole lot right now, but it is a basic part of the way we know. So I think we're really gift-giving beings. That's what we do as a basis of our lives. And we have placed on top of it an exchange system where you give only in order to receive, and that makes you ego-oriented, whereas in the gift economy, you're other-oriented. And the gift economy is a mode of distribution. That is, it gets the goods to the needs, while the exchange economy basically does not allow the goods to go to the needs. It requires that people have the money to be able to buy the goods. And so it's a question of making more money. And even profit is a gift of, let's say, surplus value, that is, that extra amount that's not paid for in the salary of the worker, the extra amount of work that goes, it goes into profit, as well as the free part of the natural resources. And all the kind of cheating that goes on also ends up being a gift for somebody and a loss for the other person. So the whole capital itself is just a huge pile of gifts that then can be reinvested to make more gifts go to the few and fewer gifts to the many that are creating the value in the first place. We have a really crazy economy. The whole economy based on the market is crazy, and it has patriarchal side to it too, because it's that desire for more, to be the one at the top, that sort of upward motion. That is the patriarchal way of male hegemony and dominance. That is to say, those are the same values that are in capitalism. And of course, people will tell me, well, it's difficult to move from one economy like the market economy to the gift economy. In fact, things are really always going the other way, because when things are commodified, like the water is commodified or seeds are commodified, that is, they stop being gifts and get drawn into the market exchange way of doing things. And so they're lost as gifts for the sustenance of the people. And it is going to be a difficult transition, but I think that we all already have to move towards this unilateral gift-giving way, understanding it more as part of who we are as human beings. And in fact, I think we are homo donans, that means the giving being, and not just homo sapiens, the knowing being, because as children, you have to be able to give and receive before you can even know. Somebody has to give to you. And so we have misunderstood who we are as humans, and we think that we are supposed to be exchanging and getting the most that we possibly can, and instead we're supposed to be living in nature the way that nature functions in giving freely. That's what we're supposed to do. So that is basically my rant on what the gift economy, why we should have a gift economy, what it could be, because it certainly, it could function for everybody. Now the market economy is actually channeling all the wealth, all the gifts, is channeling them to the few people. And so it's creating the scarcity that it makes gift-giving difficult. And that, if it doesn't succeed in in creating the scarcity, if too much wealth accumulates in the system, it wastes it. And how does it waste it? On wars, by destroying wealth through armaments and through killing and bombing and creating a disaster where a life could be. And this is also so expensive for the economies at home, like our own economy in the U.S., where the nurturing is not done anymore because all the money is going to nurture war. And so we have to really change, and we're destroying the environment. We have really got to re-understand ourselves in a different way and move towards an economy where we can directly give to satisfy needs rather than having to go through the market.
Well, that's a good place to ask this next question. I think many people understand the gift economy and gift labor of a mother and in a family and in interpersonal relationships. My grandchildren I have three grandchildren, three and under, and I don't even think they have any idea what gifts they're giving me just by being alive right now. But how do we move from that? I don't think that I don't understand this concept as a top-down approach, but how do we reach out from our families to our communities to really, in a practical way, implement this idea of a gift economy?
Well, there are already lots of attempts at doing gift economies. Even, you know, the Internet has a lot of gift economy going on already because there's an abundance on the Internet that there and the knowledge can be shared, and mm-hmm. there's much less of the private property on the Internet, and so we have things like Wikipedia, which is altogether a gift economy project, and there are many other kinds of gift initiatives, like the yellow bikes or free cycling on the people sharing their things that they don't need, and other people being able to take them. And it's there are many different initiatives. There's maybe small initiatives, but mm-hmm. it shows that people are already trying to do it. There's like couch surfing, where people are connected and can go and stay in each other's houses. Even hitchhiking, right. in a way, is a sharing gift kind of an initiative. So I think that one of the things is that it's starting by itself anyway. Gift economy things are starting. They're just sort of popping up like popcorn around. And some of them are going to work out better than others, obviously. But people are getting a chance to experience the difference that you feel also yourself when you're doing giving and receiving in an egalitarian situation rather than having to exchange. And even, you know, the people that all of the things like time banks and alternative currencies are all working in that direction, although they still have some of the calculation and the measurement of what's given and what's received. And I met a woman not long ago who said to me, well, you know, I used to just go to my neighbor's house and take her a cake, and we would sit and chat, and it was fine. We had a very good relationship. But now I'm in this time-sharing time bank thing, And so I have to calculate how much time I put into baking the cake, and it's not the same relationship anymore. So we need to have more of the qualitative relationship where we also look at what the other person's need is and satisfy that need. And the person may also have a psychological need or have a need to be not taken care of too much. We really know a lot about each other in each other's needs that we can satisfy without offending, which make our bonds become stronger with each other. And if we are only exchanging, we're independent from each other and we have no connection. So it's a question of creating relationships through giving and receiving and being able to do that in a respectful and a good way. And there are a number of different communities of people that are trying to do the gift economy also in a living situation. Of course, all of this is experimental, and people have to support themselves in the exchange economy in order to make a community in the gift economy work most of the time. What I would hope that eventually could happen would be, for example, that a government could put up the money for a larger scale economic experiments, like 1,000 people or more that would be living in different economic ways according to different values and standards, and experiment them. You know, we had the Soviet Union was a huge economic and social experiment that failed, and it really messed up the lives of a lot of people. Not that it was all negative, I don't mean that, but but it did have a lot of negative effects for a lot of people. If you do the social experiments on smaller scales, it gives a chance to work out the glitches before before generalizing the way of doing things.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, how do you do this from inside your family to out? I think you begin to realize that what you're doing in your family is probably already part of a different economy. That is, women are already, or mothers, and some men, because some men are mothering also, do this unilateral gift-giving, which is in contrast with the economy as such, with our exchange economy or capitalist economy. And a lot of the times, the people that are doing the gift-giving are feeling like they're in the wrong because they're not functioning according to the standards of capitalism. But that's really not true. It's another economy that's trying to come up, that's trying to grow. And it's a much more human and humane economy than capitalism, which is it's really suicidal at this point.
Well, you talked about the Soviet Union. You talked about that, how that social experiment failed. It seems like it failed because it really became very militaristic and totalitarian. And it seems like the U.S. economy, or the U.S. empire, the U.S. system is in crisis right now because of our totalitarian militarism. And many people are foreseeing the collapse of the economy here. Do you believe that, you know, in the case that happened, that it would be a more natural and organic move where we would be forced to move into some kind of a gift economy?
I hope that the transition is going to be easier than a huge crash, although we're already in a crash, so
right.
I don't know exactly. I mean, nobody can actually see the future that clearly. But I think both capitalism and communism are patriarchal. They have those male-dominant values, and those are not functional anymore.
Yeah.
Because they make people suffer too much, and they also make the planet suffer. And so we really have to become conscious of the damage that we're causing and try to make something else happen. It's just unconscionable that we should have three wars mm-hmm. that are going on at the same time that we have now, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Libya, and maybe Syria on the horizon.
And don't forget Pakistan.
Impossible. And these are patriarchal wars. Mm-hmm. They're wars that have been fought between even two men, like Bush and Saddam Hussein, or like now Gaddafi is the bad guy, and so mm-hmm. the group of nations is creating a pact to attack him. And you know, here in Italy, there's a time difference, you know, with the U.S. and the morning that that the bombing started on Libya, I was watching TV, and they said Gaddafi has declared a ceasefire, and everybody was happy. But the problem was that evidently the France and the U.S. and they didn't hear that message, or they didn't care. He didn't say it soon enough, because they started bombing then, and they bombed him because he wasn't declaring a ceasefire. I mean, it's like they don't really pay attention. They just decide they want to attack, and then they do it. I'm upset about this war against Libya. And I think it was absolutely uncalled for, and I don't see how they're going to stop, because all they know how to do is escalate. I agree that the whole war economy, and the whole machismo that goes into the war, the machismo among nations is what it is. Mm-hmm. It absolutely needs to stop, and these other initiatives of more peaceful ways of doing things have to be listened to and will be listened to. Once people can sort of wake up from the dream of listening to their leaders tell them, you know, how bad that other guy is. So I'm hopeful, because I do see a lot of people interested in alternatives. I'm also involved with the matriarchal studies movement. Matriarchy not as a mirror image of patriarchy, not as power over, but as an egalitarian system based on mothering values. And I'm going to a conference now in Switzerland that they're going to have next May. And it's of women from actually matriarchal societies that still exist on Earth. There's still quite a few of those. And they come together and talk about that, and then the other European women and Americans and so on that are involved in this also. Also try to envision a matriarchal kind of society that is also similar to, and there are some of the women, Native American women involved in it as well. And so that is a part of, let's say it's a context in which the gift economy has a sort of natural home in that wider context of a culture that's based on matriarchal or maternal values?
Well, I did quite a bit of exploration and writing about a concept of called matriotism. And so I have spoken about it quite a bit, and I find even in the peace community, the so-called people who are devoted to not just being anti-war, but fostering all kinds of systems that are healthy and respectful and egalitarian, without having this patriotism of, you know, my country, right or wrong. I love the place I was I was born in, but the accident of my birth, just because it contained within a border, and you know, all this blah blah blah.
Right.
But I find out with this matriotism concept that even the males that are involved in these healthy discussions and these healthy movements are they're very threatened by that idea. And it not only it's not only about being, you know, they're having their their maleness threatened, but it's also sometimes it seems like if they feel like they can succumb to such an idea where you don't have to be a woman to participate in these kinds of societies, it's almost to them like if they do it, they'll be perceived as less than a male. And so then it gets into almost like they're homophobic too. So it's very misogynistic and almost homophobic to see the reactions that these people, these males come up with when you start talking about these ideas.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of times men are very interested in my work in the gift economy, and but there are some times that they really get threatened, and I try to tell them to look at the men's movement, because there is a movement of men that are trying to embrace the so-called feminine in themselves and trying to move out of patriarchal ways, because patriarchy hurts everybody, not just women. It hurts men,
right.
And it hurts nature. And I think that we have a system that's very harmful, and we don't realize it. It's like, you know, we're living in this toxic atmosphere and breathing it all the time, and we don't realize. We think it's normal, but it's hurting them too, and they're becoming alienated from their humanity by the economic system that we're part of, as well as the social patriarchal system. So I always talk about patriarchal capitalism or capitalist patriarchy, because I think it's one and the same thing. And there are lots of men who realize that, I think, that also use that terminology, at least to some extent. But one of the problems with the gift economy is that lots of men are talking about it now, but they don't recognize the connection with mothering. It doesn't even occur to them that women are doing this all the time and have been doing it for centuries. And I believe there's a whole epistemology, a whole philosophy based on mothering that has not gotten into academia, and it hasn't gotten into the minds of the philosophers, the male philosophers that have existed from Aristotle and Plato on. I mean, a lot of those philosophical questions would be asked in a different way, or not asked at all, if mothering were taken into account. And they just don't do it. And I think that it might be helpful to develop thinking along those lines, so as to make room for more practice of the gift economy by men as connected to their the legacy that mothering leaves in them, or the fact that they were mothered children leaves them capable of doing the gift economy too. But it doesn't mean that they can't be men and do that too.
Well, but, you know, even feminist intellectuals, female intellectuals, will reject the place that motherhood has in our society and in our economies and in our movements. I was really hurt to find out once that in upstate New York there was this feminist conference, and they had a whole seminar about me and how just because, you know, I'm a grieving mother, that didn't confer legitimacy to what I was saying. And, you know, I've never ever said, oh, I'm a mother, so you have to listen to me, and that confers legitimacy on me. It's just a part of who I am. And that just being a mother is something that I can never not be, and being a grieving mother now is something I can never not be. So
right.
even with feminist intellectuals, that kind of thinking gets rejected.
Right. Well,
and I don't know where that
big
is.
They turn against mothering in feminism, and that has liberated a lot of women, and it's true that women have been burdened by motherhood because the system that we live in does not provide the abundance that makes it easy to do mothering and unilateral gift giving. The system that we live in is what it has to change, not the fact of mothering. And that would, anyway, make it much easier. And instead, it's penalized because scarcity makes it hard to be a mother and makes it hard to do the gift economy. But the the patriarchal capitalist system protects itself against this possible change by creating the scarcity that through wasting the wealth on the wars and through privileging the few with the great wealth and the many with nothing. So it's a system that's set up against mothers and against a lot of other people too, but I'm saying specifically mothers in this case. And feminism in the last decades has wanted to often, not always, but wanted to assimilate women, more women, into the patriarchal capitalist system and make us successes in the system. But that does not heal the system except very slowly. And it makes us part of the perpetrators rather than the victims.
Right.
We don't want to be
right.
either one. We want a different way of doing things. And I think that is based on the fact that we have a different economy when we're children and with our mothers. So everybody has this possibility, men or women. More women have it because they haven't been told you'll never be a mother and you have a non-mothering identity and so on, as men have been. But unfortunately, what's happened is that the feminists who I consider myself a feminist.
Well, so do I.
Oh, I am a feminist.
Yes, yeah, so am I.
But I don't want to give up what I see as the hope that comes through the alternative practice that you have to practice as a mother, and that I see as the opening into a different way of perceiving and a whole different paradigm and a different economy. We do have this way in the academic world right now, and I have gotten turned down several times from being even speaking at the National Women's Studies Association. They just turned me down for a talk that I wanted to give there this fall. why. Because I guess they look at what I have to say as essentialist. That's the buzzword about being concentrating on mothering. But it's really, I'm not essentialist. I'm talking about an alternative economy, and that is not something that you can call essentialist. But on the other hand, there is also now a big motherhood movement that has started from out of Toronto with this.
I'm going to the conference.
That's wonderful.
I'm the keynote speaker, so I'm very excited.
Yeah, they have this whole new movement, and there are, you know, I think they have about some millions of people now are in members of this movement. And so my group, the International Feminists for a Gift Economy, is part of the movement, and so is the Matriarchal Studies movement. So that I think is good, and it's a way of coming back to mothering after having gone through a sort of distancing ourselves from it through showing also that we're capable of doing anything men can do just as well as they can, but mm-hmm. that we have this, what would I say, job, like the motherhood movement says mother the job or mother the verb. Mm-hmm. We have this job that we often have to do in our lives, women do, and that job has to do with bringing up tiny babies and to adulthood. And that is a specific kind of job with job requirements, which are the ability to do unilateral gift giving, to satisfy needs without a kickback, without anybody paying you to do that. And your satisfaction is in the well-being of the child. And this is a very much more human way of doing things than it is to go to the market and only give money in order to get something or get something, sell something in order to get money. It's just we always have this intermediary of money in between anything we do, and this separates people and does not allow us to create community, and puts us in adversarial positions because each one is trying to get more than the other
out of the transaction. And that's why I think the students at Bellingham were looking at me so weird when I was saying that there's a different paradigm. Where the paradigm in the United States is dog eat dog and rugged individualism. But Genevieve, we're out of time, and this has been a fascinating conversation. And can you tell people where they can find out more information about this economy and your work?
I have a website, giftparadigm.org, or else you can. It's the same website but a different name. Which is gift-economy.com. So those are two different names for the same website.
Well, Genevieve Vaughn, thank you so much for being on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox.
Thank you, Cindy. I've really enjoyed talking with you.
Okay, thank you. That was our guest, Genevieve Vaughn. I hope you go to her website to find out more information about the gift economy. I hope we start practicing it in small ways and widespread ways, because I have a feeling that our empire and our economy is going to collapse on us, but we have to create this umbrella around our communities, like Genevieve says, muni means gift, around our communities and our loved ones and our families, to make sure it's not such a hard crash around us. So I hope you enjoyed the show, and as always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Scott Cuddy, my webmaster, Rich Bowser, my producer, Mikey, my guest, Genevieve Vaughn, and you for listening. This is Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan, and I hope you tune in again next week.
I must make my witness. tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe, and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes. As if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.